Sing that song at the conclusion of our lesson this morning. If we have any in our midst who realize that you're not obeying the Lord, you're not following after his teaching, you're not a member of the church that he died for, we want to encourage you to come and give your life to the Lord. In the book of Mark, Thomas read to us, Brother Thomas Malone read to us a familiar passage. I'm sure that we've looked at this passage time and time again, and we all are familiar with this passage. You'll find a sister passage to this in Matthew chapter 19 that talks about the same man in that particular passage. It calls him a young ruler that comes to the Lord. So I'm sure we're familiar with this passage, but I want us to look at it this morning because I believe there are some wonderful teachings in it. And especially the one that I want to share with us this morning. In this passage, we find a young man who come into the presence of Jesus. And then he leaves the presence of Jesus. And he's no better than when he came. That's a sad situation. To be in the presence of our Lord. And then to walk away no better than when we came. In the New Testament, there are many people that are talked about that had the privilege of being in the presence of Jesus. To be in the presence of Jesus was a grand occasion. It was a noble privilege to be in the presence of the Son of God. However, it seemed as though most people in New Testament time that came into the presence of Jesus evidently didn't realize what a blessing it was. And therefore, many of them missed out on the tremendous blessings that could have been in their lives. I think about what the Lord says, or what John wrote concerning the Lord in John chapter 1 and verse number 11, that says that he came unto his own, and his own received him not. His own didn't realize what a blessing it was for Jesus to come and be in their presence. Even the Bible talks about that on one occasion in his ministry, he went back into Nazareth where he had been brought up. And he was not able to do very many miracles there because of the people's unbelief. And he said this, that a prophet is not without honor, save or except in his own country. So his own countrymen, the people that he grew up with, that were familiar with him, didn't realize what a blessing it was to have him to come and to be in their midst. And again, so many people in the New Testament and so many people even today do not realize what a blessing it is to be in the presence of Jesus. In the scripture text before us this morning that was read, we have such a man who failed to take advantage of the opportunity that he had. And to make matters worse, this young man was a good man. He was a good man, morally speaking. He was a very good man. From all indications, that was one thing that was lacking in his life. He was in the presence of Jesus, but when he left, he was still no better off. Notice some things about this story. The Bible says in verse number 17 of Mark chapter 10, that when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running. Can you imagine that? That here he comes running to get to Jesus. Not only did he come running, but he kneeled down to Jesus when he got there. Showed his respect, showed his reverence to Jesus. And then, of course, he asks this all-important question. What shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? That's the greatest question that a person could ever ask. What must I do to inherit eternal life. Well, the first thing that we want to mention about this man is that he came to the right source seeking answers. He came to the right source. Jesus was the right source for him to come to. And we mentioned that the scripture says he came running, so it seemed like he was eager to get to where Jesus was. Oh, I would today that if everyone would be eager to get to Jesus. This man was eager in coming to Jesus. He came running, and as I've said, he was very respectful. Some folks today are not too respectful when it comes to Jesus, when it comes to religious matters. And he addressed him as good master, again showing his respect to him. Well, Christ, this good master, invited the Jews to come to him, to seek him. You remember what he said in John chapter 5 and verse number 39? The Bible says there in that particular passage, seek ye, or rather search the scriptures. For in them, he says, you think you have eternal life. You know what Jesus was doing? He was inviting the Jews to come to him. He was inviting the Jews to have a presence with him, have an experience with him, because that's how we experience Jesus in the scriptures. So he says, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they, the Bible says, that what? Testify of me. They are the ones that talk about me. The scripture provides us, brothers and sisters, today all the answers that we need for life. Everything that we need, we can find it in the scriptures. The scriptures were written for that express purpose. Yes, it was written that we might believe that he is the Christ and believing we might have life through his name, but it was also written for the express purpose that we could have the answers for everything in life in order to please our Heavenly Father. Bible says, as Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 15, he says, and from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. And then he says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God for a purpose. Weren't just inspired for nothing. They were inspired for a purpose. Look at what the scripture says. It is profitable for doctrine, for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. Everything is in the scriptures to make us what we need to be in God's sight. But we got to go to them. We got to search them. We got to study them. And when we study the scriptures, when we search the scriptures, then we are entering, as it were, into the presence of Jesus. Jesus is in the scriptures. So this young man, a great thing about him, is that he came to the right source. When you and I pick up our Bibles, and when we read, and when we study, and when we meditate upon the Word of God, we are at the right source. The question is, what are we going to do when we get there? And that was the question about this young man. What was he going to do when he received the answer that Jesus gave him? Well, talking about the answer that Jesus gave him, the answer that Jesus gave him allowed this young man to see himself. The scriptures allow us to see ourselves. We know whether we are loving or not. We know whether we are kind or not. We know whether we are forgive folks or not. The scriptures allow us to see ourselves. Notice what the Bible says when he asked this question, what must I do or what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said this in verse 19. He said, you know the commandments. That's your answer. That's your answer. You know what the commandments say. And then he enumerates these commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. And then the young man thought he knew himself, but he realized here that he really didn't know himself as well as he thought he did. This is what he says. All these have I observed from my youth up. So what, you know, what's the deal? I hadn't violated any of these from my youth up. That's a great statement to make. Now, Jesus didn't come back and say, you forgot when you did such and such a thing. You forgot when you stole that. You forgot when you defrauded somebody. Jesus didn't come back and say that. So it is evident from the answer that Jesus gave or the statement that Jesus gave to this man, this young man, that he was a good moral young man. Because all Jesus pointed out was one thing. So he was doing pretty good, morally speaking. But when Jesus pointed out that one thing, he was able to see himself. I want to encourage all of us to look in the scriptures to see if we can see ourselves. Because the scriptures will reveal who we really are. A morally good person is a good person. It's a good thing to be. But being morally good is not good enough. We must go all the way and obey our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So again, Jesus didn't come back and say, oh yes, you forgot when you committed adultery. You forgot when you stole such and such a thing. You forgot when you bore false witness or when you lied on somebody. You forgot about that. You forgot when you defrauded, when you cheated somebody out of something. You forgot when you failed to honor your father and your mother. He didn't come back and say that. The Bible says this, Jesus beholding him, loved him. Now, it's an interesting thing about this. The Bible says that when Jesus looked at him, after he said, all of these things have I kept from my youth up, the Bible says Jesus loved him. And because Jesus loved him, he told him what he needed to hear. Sometimes we say we love folks, but we won't tell them what they need to hear. Oh, yes, we need to tell them in love, yes. But if we truly love folks, we need to tell them not what they want to hear, but tell them what they need to hear. And that's why Jesus told this man what he needed to hear. It wasn't what he wanted to hear, but it was what he needed to hear. All because Jesus loved him. Do we truly love people? Then let's tell folks what they need to hear. Again, tell them in love, but tell them what they need to hear. But as we look at the story and go on a little bit further, Jesus said unto him, one thing thou lackest. Didn't say two, didn't say three, just one. One thing thou lackest. He said, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me. That's what he needed to hear. You see, Jesus knows our heart. He knows what's in our heart. He knew that the young man had a heart problem. Again, he didn't have a hard problem with committing adultery. Didn't have a hard problem with stealing, defrauding somebody, honoring his father and mother. He had a hard problem with things. I talked about that last week, the stuff. A few Sundays ago, stuff. Stuff will give us a hard problem if we're not careful. Things will be a great hindrance to us in following our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, if we're not careful. So this young man had a heart problem. Jesus knew his heart. And just like he knew this young man's heart, he knows my heart, he knows your heart, he knows everybody's heart. Jesus knew his heart. One thing thou lackest. And when he heard what Jesus said, the Bible says again that he was sad and grieved. Because Jesus told him something that he had a problem with, and he didn't want to get rid of it. You know, if we have a problem with something, if we realize that that thing is going to do damage to our soul, well, let's not talk about our souls yet. If you got a problem with something and it's going to do damage even to your health, you need to get rid of that, don't you? Isn't that why Jesus says if your hand offend you, get rid of it, cut it off. If your eye offend you, pluck it out. So if there's anything materially speaking or physically speaking that causes us a problem, we need to somehow get rid of that thing. Or at least bring it under our control. This young man had a problem with stuff, possessions, but he wasn't willing to get rid of it. His possessions had become his God. It's amazing that Jesus didn't relate all of the commandments, because he could have started all the way back at the very first one. Thou shalt have no other God before me. I don't know why he didn't start with that one, but it may have been that he wanted to give this young man again a chance to see himself. Thou shalt have, Exodus 20 and verse 3 says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And Jesus, in his teaching in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, he says, you cannot serve God and stuff. I like to say stuff. You cannot serve God and mammon. You're going to love one or hate the other. You're going to hold the one or despise the other. You cannot love God and mammon. You cannot love me. You cannot have eternal life if you put stuff, if you put these possessions that you have before me. That's why you need to get rid of them. You need to sell them. You need to give them to the poor. Then you need to come and follow me. Some folks try to follow God, try to follow Christ, and hold on to their stuff. It's all right to have stuff, but make sure we have it in the right perspective. Realize who gives us the stuff, who blesses us with the stuff. When we realize who blesses us with the stuff, then we can turn around and honor God with the stuff. He had a problem. His problem was covetousness. He was rich. Riches can cause many people to be lost. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 9 and 10, some passages perhaps that we're familiar with. Paul, as he writes to Timothy, he says this, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in what? Destruction and perdition. Here's this young man on his way to destruction and perdition, and could have prevented himself from that path if he would only succumb or submit himself to the will of Jesus. Then he goes on in the next passage, verse 10, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Now, the scripture says this young man went away sad and was grieved. Oh, he sure enough, when the final consummation of all things come, he sure enough is going to be grieved. He sure enough is going to be sad. Realizing that I was in the very presence of Jesus and I failed to take advantage of the opportunity. Now I'm going to be forever banished from here. As Dante wrote in his epic, banish all hope of all who enter here. When we enter hell, all hope is gone. We're going to so sure enough be saddened and grieved if we allow possessions to keep us from God. So this young man was sad and grieved, but he wasn't nearly as sad and as grieved as he was going to be. If his life, and I'll say it since the scripture closes on that, don't know whether he ever had another opportunity to come back to Jesus or not, but if his life closed on him in that condition, he's going to sure enough be sad and grieved. Riches will cause many to be lost. But on the other hand, as I've said, use the riches, use the things, use the stuff properly. Use it to bless others and to glorify God. And they'll lay up a good foundation for eternal life. Look at what Paul went on to say in the same book of Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 and 19. He said, charge them that are rich not to be what? That are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. And then he goes on in the next passage, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, ready to share, willing to communicate. This young man evidently was not ready to distribute. He wasn't ready to share. Poor folks ain't going to get none of what I got. What an attitude. Jesus said, sell it, give it to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. Paul says, those that are rich, don't be high-minded. Don't trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. God had blessed this young man with these great possessions. All he needed to do was use them right or properly. Evidently, he didn't have enough trust in God to know that if God blessed me with these, and if I do what he tells me to do, if he wants to bless me with some more, he'll do it. I guess he thought he got all those things, Veronica, himself. He forgot about what Moses was told to tell the people back in Deuteronomy. That's God. It's God that give you the power to get wealth. So if God blessed him and gave him the power to become rich with these possessions one time, if it was in his will, if he did the right thing, God will give him that same power again to get rich again. But because he was so wrapped up in it, he couldn't see what God had done for him and would do for him if he'd just do what he tells him to do. So as the story ends, the Bible says that he went away sad and grieved. And that's where my title came from. He was in the presence of Jesus, but still no better off. Because he went away in the same condition that he came. No better off. I tell us this morning that when we come in the presence of Jesus, it ought to always make a difference in our lives. We ought to always go away better than when we came. That's why Jesus came, so that we could be better. You remember what he said in John chapter 10 and verse number 10, he says, the thief cometh not but for to what? Steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I came that you might be better off. I came that you might have that abundant life. But you remember I said earlier that Jesus invited the Jews to come to him when he said such the scriptures in John chapter 5, verse 39. Verse number 40, he says, but they would not come to me that they may have life. So many people will not come to Jesus, or will not take advantage of the presence of being, of the opportunity of being in his presence, until they don't enjoy life. They are still miserable. They are still wretched. They are still blind. I'm talking about spiritually speaking. Because they don't take advantage of being in the presence of Jesus. I said that we come into Jesus' presence when we study God's word, when we read God's word, when we hear God's word being taught. We are in the presence of Jesus. But so many folks read God's word, study God's word, listen to God's word being taught or being preached, and they still go away no better off. They read God's word hating folks, and they leave God's word still hating folks. They are no better off. God's word tells us to love folks, but folks will still leave hating folks. No better off. Just like this rich young ruler left the presence of the Lord, no better off. Came to the right source, asked the right question. Jesus gave him the right answer, but he walked away no better off. Because he had one thing that he was struggling with. So in the remainder of my time this morning, I want to ask all of us to look into our hearts and see if there's one thing that we are struggling with. It may not be possessions. It may not be riches. But it may be one something else. And just like that one thing caused this young man to be no better off, because he couldn't get rid of it. If the one thing that we're struggling with in our lives, if we can't master it, it will cause us not to be any better off, even though we have come in the presence of Jesus. Some folks struggle with holding on to grudges. May be good in every other aspect, but they just have a problem holding on to grudges. But yet they will hear lessons being taught. They will read God's word for themselves, where it says in passages like Ephesians 4 and verse 32, be ye kind one to another, forgiving one another. But they'll read that, and they'll still walk away holding the grudge. I remember when she did that. I remember when he did that, when they said that. And I will never forgive them. But yet they come to church. Yet they read their Bibles. Yet they listen to lessons being taught. But they still walk away no better off than when they came. Jesus wants us to master these things. Otherwise, it'll be the one thing that we lack. Remember, the question was, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? All of those good things were negated by that one bad thing that he couldn't give up. So all of our good can be negated by the one thing that we can't give up, that we're struggling with. So if you have a grudge, Jesus is saying to us in his word that we need to get rid of it. That's what he was saying to the young man. You need to get rid of these possessions. Then you come and follow me. Even folks want to worship, knowing that they have a grudge, there's a problem going on. Haven't you read in Jesus' word somewhere where he says, if you bring your gift to the altar and remember your brother have aught against you, what did he say? Leave your gift, go and be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. That represented worship, brothers and sisters. Some folks come to worship mad with somebody, and they leave worship still mad with somebody out there. May not be everybody in here, but it may be somebody out there. That's the one thing that you're going to have to master if you want eternal life. Otherwise, you'll come to worship, get in the presence of Jesus, study the Bible class, listen to the lesson in the sermon, sing in the songs and all of that, and you'll still leave no better off than when you came, because you're still struggling with that one thing. It may not be a grudge, but it may be somebody that you just can't love. Again, because they may be doing you so wrong. But Jesus says that we got to love them too. You know, folks that do you wrong, they fall into the category of the enemy. Jesus said we got to love them too. Otherwise, we're no better off. Look at what he says in Matthew chapter 5, another familiar passage, verse number 43 beginning. He says, you have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and do what? Hate thine enemy. Jesus said, now, you've heard that. Now, it's great that he didn't say that you read that, because it was never written, not in God's word, to do that. Love your neighbor and hate your enemy. That was one of those things that was thrown in there by those rabbinical teachers. Love your neighbor, hate your enemy. But then he goes on and said, but I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. You know what he was saying? Pray for them that curse you. How many of us struggle with praying for folks that mess over us? We struggle with that, don't we? We got to master it. That may be the one thing that will cause us not to realize, in a little bit we're going to be singing how beautiful heaven may be, not to realize how beautiful heaven truly is. So he says, bless those that curse you. Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Then he goes on and he says in the next verse, that you may be the children of your Father. Oh yes, I'm a child of God. But I hate that person over there that's mistreated me. I'll never pray for them. I'll never bless them. But I'm a child of God. No, he says, you need to do that, that you may be. That you may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. For he maketh his son to do what? Rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. And then he goes on in the next passage and he says, for if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? Those folks that you can't stand, the publicans that are overcharging you on your taxes, you can't stand them. But he said, now, if you just love them that love you, you know better off than those folks you can't stand. What a shame. And then he goes on and says, and if you salute your brethren only, What do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Again, those folks you can't stand, salute their brethren only. Now, if that's how we're going to be, we're no better off. Now, reading all of that, we are in the presence of Jesus. This is what he said. We're listening to him talk, just like that young man was listening to him talk to him. But he wasn't willing to do what Jesus says. So if we're not willing to do this, we're no better off, even though we're in the presence of Jesus. Serving the Lord half-heartedly. Sometimes folks struggle with that. They can't put the Lord first in everything they do. That's serving the Lord half-heartedly. We want to serve him, yes, but there's something else we want to do first. After all, Jesus made it a condition. If you're going to follow me, you're going to have to do what? Deny yourself. You're going to have to put me first. That may be the one thing that we're struggling with. That may be the one thing that we lack. We're doing all these other good things, but that may be the one thing that we're lacking. We cannot put Jesus first. Didn't he say, seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness? And all these things will be added unto you. Jesus must have first place in our lives. And when Jesus is first place in our lives, we'll strive to our utmost to please him and not become so concerned about pleasing others. As a matter of fact, Paul says, if I seek to please men, Galatians 1:10, I shall not be the servant of Christ. So if we're seeking to please somebody else rather than Christ, we're not Christ's servant. Some folks seek to please mama, seek to please daddy, seek to please wife, seek to please husband, seek to please friend, associates. But they don't worry about displeasing Christ. We got the cart before the horse. We need to put Christ first in our lives. Otherwise, we're trying to half-heartedly serve him. And we can't serve him if we got baggage hanging on to us. That those possessions was baggage that this young man was carrying. So Jesus said, you need to get rid of your baggage. We need to get rid of our baggage if we're going to serve the Lord. One more and we'll stop. We must make sure that our being in the presence of Jesus is not in vain. Now, there's a scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 where it's talking about grace. But the principle of it is the point that I want to draw out of it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 1, if you can put that up there, look at what the Bible says. The Bible says, we then as workers together with him beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. Paul was writing to the Christians, and he was telling them that there is a possibility that you can receive God's grace in vain. And how do you do that? Again, by not submitting yourself to the will of God, to the will of Christ. You've received him. You are a Christian, you are a follower of him, but if you are not totally submitting yourself to his will, his grace is all in vain in your life. So again, all of those things the young rich ruler was doing were great. But because he could not get rid of his love of possessions, it made it all vain. We need to make sure that as we come into the presence of Jesus, it's not in vain. So again, if we get into Jesus' presence through coming to worship, through studying our Bibles, through listening to lessons being taught, and if we do not make the necessary changes in our lives, if we see that we need to make them, it's all in vain, because we will leave his presence no better off. This rich young ruler was in the presence of Jesus, but when he left, he was no better off. I want to say to us all this morning as I close that just as Jesus knew the young man's heart, he knows each of our hearts. He knows why we're here this morning. He knows if we are truly here to worship him, because we love him, and because we want to honor and adore him. Or he knows whether we are just here out of habit, or we're just here so somebody don't call us and say, "I miss you, where have you been?" He knows whether we're just here because our friends say they were coming. He knows whether we're just here because we're looking for a friend. This is a good place to find a friend, but don't come just to look for a friend. You come to be in the presence of Jesus. And if you happen to get a friend, that's good too. Our purpose for coming and being in the presence of Jesus is to remember his death and suffering, is to worship God in spirit and in truth. Why? Because we are putting him first in our lives. So Jesus knows our hearts. He longs for our hearts to be in tune with his, but he will not force it upon us. We must willingly allow him to be the center of our lives. So just don't come in the presence of Jesus just to be there, but come there so that we can enjoy a richer and a fuller life. This young man came enthusiastically, eagerly, running to Jesus, respecting him, reverencing him, kneeling down to him, calling him good master, asking him the right question, having a good moral life to present to Jesus. But because Jesus knew his heart, he said, "One thing thou lackest. Go and sell what you have. Give it to the poor. You'll have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me." Bible says when he heard that, he went away sad and grieved. He was in the presence of Jesus, but still was no better when he left. I hope you're better when you leave today than when you came. If you're no better, you're coming has been in vain. You ought to leave being a more loving person, a more forgiving person, a more dedicated person, a more person who is concerned about one another. Don't receive the grace of God in vain. Come into Jesus' presence, but let's leave better than when we came. If you're not a member of the body of Christ, you've been in the presence of Jesus this morning. You've heard me talk about Jesus. You've heard me talk about him coming so that we might have the abundant life. The abundant life starts with obeying him, becoming a member of the church which he established when he died on the cross. If you're not a member of that church, the one you can read about in the New Testament, the church of Christ, if you're not a member of that, you'll leave this presence, his presence today, if you don't obey, no better than when you came. How can you become better? Hear and believe the gospel, Acts 15:7. Repent of your past sins, Luke 13:3. Confess your faith in Jesus Christ, Matthew 10:32. Be baptized in water for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38. And when you do that, the Lord will add you to his church, Acts 2:47. And you can walk out of these doors better than when you came. If you're already a member of the body of Christ, but somehow you've erred along the way, maybe you're struggling with some of these things I've talked about this morning, you need to get a hold of those. Master those things that you're struggling with so that you can leave better than when you came. So if you sin, and if you need to confess of that, we bid you to come. Or maybe you just need prayer. Whatever your need is, we're begging you to come so that you can leave better than when you came. While we stand and while we sing, will you come?
Heaven, it made for the spirit and the free.
Is that one that needs to come? Would you come?